Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Hello again, Jim Gerhardt, along with Patrick Labrie. This is, Pat, this is a couple of days, I guess, after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
But a certainly a very ominous thing has fallen upon us this week. Tax time. You know, that's particularly bad. You know, we get a double dip.
Right.
Because the property tax, if you're paying your quarterly property taxes, that comes up in about a week.
Yes,
and
I think so.
And so on top of the national and the thing.
Right.
So I guess you could, in a sense, you could hold the posture.
Bohica, Bohica, bend over, here it comes, Bohica, Bohica again.
That's the official New Jersey tax posture. You sort of make yourself like a little croquet wicket, you know,
yep.
And you get ready for it. But you had a story.
Yes.
Interesting. It was tax, I want to say amnesty, it's not a tax.
Tax Freedom,
Freedom Day,
Day.
Tax
which as I, which as I understand it, is if you were to pay nothing but your taxes from January 1st, you would make enough money by a certain date to have all your taxes paid off.
Yeah.
So that day across the country this year was April 16th. So day after you pay last year's taxes.
So after today, your money is yours.
Right. Correct. All your money after April 16th is your money. Now, that's the national average. In New Jersey, of course, that date is later. I think it's not until April 30th that we have our tax freedom.
So we have the largest burden.
Right.
I believe that excludes property tax, if I'm not mistaken. I think this is a national averaging.
Yes. Yes,
and
I think so.
It does not include the highest property taxes in the country.
I believe you're right. Yeah.
So we... Instead of May, let's make it July.
Sure,
whenever
sure,
it's coming.
Right.
I want to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
You are a person who's certainly well versed in the news, intelligent, experienced, a keen observer of the scene. Why do people in New Jersey put up with this? You can't get a whimper out of people.
I just think they've been beaten over the head with it so many times that they have given up their resistance. And whether that's right or wrong to do, it seems to be that the people of this state have just tired so much of these same arguments and these same problems over and over again that they used to have the energy to fight it, and now they just don't anymore.
There are groups that have come up with some excellent plans. One notable that I thought was a shoe-in, this would have been back in the early part of the millennium, I guess, or the late 90s or something. And it made sense, and they had this all worked out, that you could have a temporary surcharge on income tax, which would be stacked toward the higher incomes.
Right.
And this would be a surcharge to take care of education funding. It would fund it without property tax.
Right.
And then people complained about that, saying, well, they're going to make, you know, my income tax is going up. But what happened was that you would save so much money that the money that would be on the surcharge on your income tax is a pittance compared with your with the education share of your property tax.
Right.
So it made a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get? Nothing. You know, the old sheeple bit again.
Right.
So politically, I can understand kind of why, because it would cut into the if the state supported it. Education would cut into the amount of money available to buy votes in the form of entitlements and services to special interest and the like. You know, you would not remember this. I'm assuming you would. You might.
Mm.
It was in the early 90s
when
the Whitman administration came in.
Mm.
Along with it was a Republican legislature.
Right.
Now, this was after the Hands Across New Jersey tax rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a process called Initiative Referendum and Recall.
Right.
We learn about that in seventh grade civics class.
Yeah.
They still teach civics in school, don't know. But that means that people can circulate a petition.
Mm-hmm.
You get enough valid signatures on there.
Yep.
Then it's approved. It has to go on the ballot.
Yes.
And people vote. legendarily, the proposition in California years ago to eliminate property tax. Do you remember what number that was? I don't. It was I-something initiative.
Yeah, I don't remember the number.
Now, this was somebody or a group. They got older people together, people of, as we say, mature years. Old farts, you know. I like that better than somebody calls me a senior. I want to strangle him.
Right. But just an old fart.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ray. You do understand. You're looking forward to becoming that.
Right, right.
See, everybody wants to become that someday, but they don't want to do it right now. But they had stopped property tax.
Yeah.
In California. And it could be done here. Now, there was a move in New Jersey as soon as the Republican legislature went in. Now, before the election that put them in, the Hands Across New Jersey tax rebellion against Jim Florio started and had been going for a couple of years.
Right.
And so what they did, the members of Hands Across New Jersey, they went to all people standing for the legislature and got them to sign a document saying that if elected, they would support initiative and referendum in New Jersey.
Right.
Which means that people could get together, get enough signatures, and God knows you could get them, and it would go on a ballot, and you could eliminate property taxes or some variation of it that you wanted.
Right. And we were just talking about this process with regard to some sort of recall effort that was connected to Murphy or something like that. Do you remember we were talking about that a couple of months ago?
Yes. Yeah. But you see, what happens is later...
Yeah.
See, initiative and referendum and recall.
Right.
Recall would have been part of that package, but none of it happened.
Right.
Because the legislatures or the people, the candidates who had agreed and signed that they would support it didn't after it was fact. Some of them, actually, it was funny. They had the documents and they put yes, and you could see later that they had gone through with a magic marker and stretched it in and written in no to cover their butts. But anyway, later, just a couple of years ago, recall did get on the ballot as a public question. People said, yes, we'd like to be able to recall public officials who are not living up to our expectations.
Right.
They passed it, but the flaw was that the people only voted for recall, not a particular form of it.
Right.
And it was left up to the legislature, who naturally denuded it.
Right.
It was totally emasculated or effeminated, I guess, you know, to be politically correct.
Sure, but, right.
But it is practically impossible.
Yes.
On any kind of a scale beyond school board members.
Right, because the burden is so high because it involves not registered voters, but people who actually voted, right?
You see, it should people who had voted. But now, the way they wrote it, it's registered voters.
Right.
Now,
right.
Most of the registered voters in New Jersey are not party affiliated.
Right.
And so they would not count in this. Or they would count in this, but they would not count in a genuine exercise of this. But anyway, we had possibility of doing that. We could have done it. However, there was one, what happened, and it would happen here too, and so it dampened my ardor just a little bit. In California, once they found out that this did work, in the state of Washington, a couple of times, they had taken away raises the legislature had given themselves.
Right.
See, 29 states do have initiative and recall, and so it does work. But they found out in California the large, well-heeled public interest could use that to their own advantage.
Right.
Huge publicity campaigns, you know, buying votes, mobilizing voters to get something that they wanted that could be certainly to the disadvantage of the voters. So politicians will figure out a way to snooker you if to their own advantage
one way or the other.
What I would say for anybody out there that you are the executive producer of the morning show, so you are up to your latissimus dorsi in the news, especially of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Just your comments on a couple of things here and how the station handled it. Racist emojis.
Yes.
That
I happened to be anchoring for Eric on Monday morning when we talked about this. Bill Spadia and I covered this on the morning show, and it really, to me, it's just smacks of insincerity. Do you remember last year when there was a whole to-do made about the OK symbol? And if you flashed the OK symbol, you know, a certain way, then you were anti-police or something like that. If you, I forget what the exact thing was, but anything that you see online these days, we also brought up the example of, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, Pepe the Frog, which is an animated frog that was made into one of these internet memes that was all over the place, but then was carried up as a mantle by, I think it was white supremacists who adopted this as their mascot. So now,
did they really, or was this just the left said that they had?
I think
they
this,
do. Their yeah. forked tongue is
right. I think this
active.
Was one side accused the other side yeah, of uh-huh. something that maybe wasn't even really there. But you know, poor Pepe has has been totally ostracized, and now we have the thumbs up emoji. Now, as Bill and I talked about. When you text someone the thumbs up emoji, most phones will give you the option to display the emoji in any number of skin tones, the default being Simpsons yellow.
Uh-huh.
So if you are a Simpsonsist, if you do not like the yellow coloring of the Simpsons characters, then I guess that would apply to you. But apparently what happened was there were Twitter users who in their usernames were displaying this thumbs up, and it became a signal that it was an account run by a white supremacist. I don't know why, I don't know how, but...
But you see, in the minds, and this is so tragic, that in the minds of many people, they have been led to believe that everything is racist.
Right.
I can't mm-hmm. think of anything that isn't,
mm-hmm.
or that hasn't been accused. You remember Carl Rowan? Does the name Carl Rowan ring a bell?
No,
he was
I don't
a very
think...
prominent and an excellent black journalist
mm-hmm.
operating out of Washington. He was a columnist.
Mm-hmm.
And an incident came up that in Washington that actually got some government workers fired
mm-hmm.
for a word that they used. And Carl Rowan writing about lamenting the fact that how this was all this foolishness was beclouding mm-hmm. the serious part of the issue. And he said, unhappily, racial paranoia is driving us all crazy.
Yeah. About 15 years ago, there was a very funny Broadway musical that came out, Avenue Q, which if you know anything about that, is kind of like a dirty Sesame Street. They have these puppets and they all... curse and fornicate and things like that. But there is a song which when the show came out, it was like, oh, this is a funny song and we can laugh at ourselves a little bit. But now 15 years later, it has become our reality in this society. And the name of the song is called Everyone's a Little Bit Racist.
Well, and, I think it's inescapable because they keep throwing it up there, throwing it
right,
out.
Right.
When
right.
you're basically, you don't come into the game with that, but it's so relentlessly pounded at you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no way. And everything is filtered through that.
Yes.
Martin Buber, one of the great brains of the last century mm-hmm. and writer, and he was writing about the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidism in the
yes.
early 18th century. And he was telling about the Jewish movement in Central Europe.
Sure.
At that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, God was in every thought of every pious Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we got a population here. Race is in every thought
yes.
of people.
Yes.
And it's something that I resent, and this is what Senator Spartacus,
right.
I always make that mistake, our senator who's running for the presidency. Now
yes.
he's all for unity. But in the beginning, you saw what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He was simply, he was race hustling
mm-hmm.
is what he was doing.
Yeah.
And he was trying to build a constituency by building up racial divisiveness
mm-hmm.
and implying that he would come along and lead everybody out of that.
Right.
Now, if you, racial divisiveness to me is evil. beside being illogical and ridiculous. But if you are using that as a tool to advance your own career, I think to me there's a touch of evil there too. I mean, you're certainly playing into it. You're using that as a tool. You're using something that I think is evil as a tool to get attention.
Oh, I tend to agree. You cannot play it both ways. Mm-hmm. You can't have it both ways in that argument. Another thing that's going on is we're talking about different prejudices and social groups and things that we either are born with or filtered with. We just talked about this in our news meeting, and I think it's something you would be interested in. There is a rally that's going to be this weekend in Trenton concerning your favorite acronym. There is going to be something battling the notion that schools are going to teach about LGBTQ leaders and pioneers, and there's a group that does not want that to happen in New Jersey schools, and so they will be vociferously protesting in Trenton.
Whatever happened to reading, writing, and arithmetic? This is a parent's job, really.
Well, right.
Except now the family has been pretty much destroyed by the new movement.
And I think something that you said a little earlier makes a lot of sense in that, and it was kind of an offhand comment, but I picked up on it when we were talking about initiative, referendum, and recall, and you said this is what we learn in seventh grade civics class, if they still teach civics, and I'm not sure that they do.
I don't think. There was a person, I'd read a story about a person who had clocked his daughter's school day.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd mentioned this before.
I think so.
And out of about 6 hours of school, there was something a little over 2 hours of actual instruction.
Oh, yeah.
There was indoctrination, there was grab ass, you know, and I guess everything that goes on in school.
Right.
But that's another thing that galls me with property tax coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind the local part. I got a good buy. Mm-hmm. Great police protection, fire. They even patch the road on occasion. a trash pickup and the like. That's good. But it's the school part that's the backbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, what are schools doing? To a large extent, indoctrination. My sons, who are sitting have been out of school for a while, but they went to a regional school, regional school in New Jersey. The motto of the school that they flaunted constantly was excellence through diversity.
Okay.
Now, I'd ask an assistant principal who was a good man, and I don't doubt, certainly very well-meaning, I asked, what does that mean? He looked at me as if I had three heads. Well, everybody knows, diversity. I said, okay, well, what does that have to do with excellence?
Right.
And I could realize I was pushing him so far that I didn't want it to reflect on his attitude toward my son.
Right.
You know, you always back off with school things. But it has no meaning. I said, I can understand variety through diversity. Mm-hmm. But what does it have to do with excellence? All of a sudden he encountered somebody, a priest encountered a guy that said there's no God.
Everybody has come across someone in that situation who, when you press them on a definition for something that you think they should be able to tell you, they're not able to do it. You might as well have asked him the question, and he would have said, well, if you asked him what is excellence through diversity, he would have said, well, excellence through diversity is defined as a phrase that we put on this big poster outside the school. And that was his explanation.
That's exactly what it was.
But he wasn't able to explain it.
If you get exactly the right ethnic mix or other intellectual or ideological mix, everything is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I live in a racially and I'm sure ideologically community.
Mm-hmm.
That wonderful people.
Yeah.
But they still get sick.
Sure.
And the kids still get in trouble with anything. The kids still sass, you know.
Yeah.
So what is the nirvana?
Mm-hmm.
But nobody ever figured out exactly what that particular mix was, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. It's sometimes I think we have reached a tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's so many things playing into this. You ever stop and wonder, and I digress now going, but, stop me if you've heard this. But you ever wonder who's actually running everything? You can't put your finger on it because it's all behind the scenes. Something is back there.
Right.
And what it is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you get things that you never think of that are actually in control here. And one of them is these communication colossi, the Google, the Facebooks and everything, who actually are in a position to control our input of the world.
Oh,
and exclude anything that they do not want to be out there.
Well, my goodness, like if you are, let's say if you have your own Google account, which I do for email and other things, and it's connected to YouTube and everything like that. And if you have your own Facebook account, and if you're logged onto all of those things on your phone, and I've seen this happen many times. If you go to Google and you punch in, let's say, blue t-shirt, it'll come up with, you know, shopping results for blue t-shirts, where to buy blue t-shirts, this and that. Okay, you've satisfied your search. You close that. Then you go into Facebook or on Twitter, and the first ad that you see on Facebook or Twitter is for blue t-shirts.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. You know, getting back to the thing that you brought up, the demonstration coming up, the problem I have with this, as you said, the alphabet soup group, because I never know, they keep adding letters and the like, and I don't know what
reordering
of them mean, reshuffling them around. But I have no problem with their, well, say much of their agenda, but I have a problem with the intimidation that they use. I mean, there's a certain fascist element to this, imposing this on it. Well, right away, San Antonio with the Chick-fil-A.
Yes.
There was a school.
Yes.
Okay.
And here with Ryder as well, as we've talked about.
Oh, yeah. And it's a lot of schools. I was reading one the other day that really defies me. This is, it bills itself as a Christian college.
Yes.
They are, the students rose up because I think it was Vice President Pence was going to do the graduation speech. And the reason that the students rise up because they said somehow, and I don't know how this gets out, I don't follow it this closely, he now is in the guy in the barrel, you know, for the SQPTXY or the Z squared minus pi or whatever it is.
Right.
And so the school canceled it.
Yes.
I mean, it would be an honor to have the Vice President of the United States speak.
I would think so.
So what did he do? He did nothing.
Right.
Except all of a sudden, they decide, okay, then he's the target.
Right.
And, but the intimidation.
Yeah.
So I would say to them, just as one person, I would be certainly probably vocal too, but more... Mm-hmm. If you just sit down and shut up for a while.
Right. Right.
You got everything you want,
but
I tell you how far they go. There was a proposal by, now I assume proposals are made by leadership of various groups. I don't know who's financing them, whether this is a Soros organization now or what. Anything to cause disruption and of the country, the government, the economy, destabilizing the, which I think is behind a whole lot of the left stuff that they're doing, the antics that they're doing. But actually had, and I made some notes on this, I'm not going to say that I could follow it, that find it. They had actually proposed that the government set up gulags, which would be mental institutions, to commit people who disagree with their agenda. You would be declared, I'm sure you probably had heard that too.
Yeah.
Anybody who disagrees with their agenda, or any part of their agenda, would be declared mentally deficient and herded off to institutions that would be set up.
Right.
Well, naturally, what comes out, it starts off with sensitivity training. This is how these things start. And then you become mentally deficient with a gulag. Then it becomes an asylum, and you're getting a long term there rather than just corrected. And eventually, a prison for anybody who disagrees. And ultimate extermination. Now, historically, with totalitarian groups, which this one is, this is the course. So I don't know that anybody who, nobody's stopping them. What they do, everything they do is legal, as far as I know, nowadays. So you got acceptance, and they've gone not only, in one generation, certain behaviors have gone from criminal to even capital crimes in many areas. One generation, all of a sudden, to like Stations of the Cross. They're somehow holy events.
I'll give you a perfect example, and it was one I was talking with someone about here on Monday morning. And we were talking about Tiger Woods winning the Masters. Mm-hmm. And this person said, oh, I really don't like Tiger Woods because of all the marital infidelities and this and that. And I said, but I can understand why people celebrate him now. First of all, it was a great sports story. But also, all of that happened with him 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And in the 10 years since that, so many other famous men have done so many worse things.
And some of us who aren't so famous.
Right.
I don't mean to insult you, but on what you just said, I give you a thumbs up. nothing terribly personal. So I'll ask you again.
Yeah.
You did the news. Eric was off, so mm-hmm. you're right there up to your latissimus dorsi in New Jersey News.
Right.
Give me kind of a hierarchy of stories now. Let's say, what is big and, you know, a couple of... Because if you look at, there's nothing earth-shattering going on.
Right.
Nobody is going to recall this governor. I mean, you forget about that. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Do you know, and don't, you remind me what I was asking you when I come back to this.
Mm-hmm.
There was protesting the income tax.
Mm-hmm.
There was a group called United Taxpayers.
Right.
Back in the 90s. They got petition up. Now, there was no initiative in referendum then, but you just show. They had 1 million signatures to roll back the income tax. So many, when they presented it in Trenton, they had to put it on a flatbed truck, put all these petitions. They drove it down in front of the State House so the lawmakers would see this. Lawmakers walked by without look. They didn't even look. And it eventually got wiped out in a rainstorm. You know, they all got soggy. Yeah. So that's what you're up against.
Yeah, I think that weather notwithstanding, we certainly have had our share of April showers. Yeah. News-wise, we are entering a very dry period of the year in New Jersey, and that is because so much of what I think is kind of dominating the news that we hear on a daily basis, not breaking events, you know, because that's a lot of that is unpredictable, obviously. But what is dominating the kind of those secondary headlines of things that are continuously going on are items that are being argued for or against in the budget, which, of course, has to be approved and set in place by June 30th, or we will shut down again. And hopefully Phil Murphy won't be on a beach when that happens. But one of the things that we've been talking about this week has been preschool funding.
Yes.
Now, that to me just shows how far, number one, how far we've come in quality of education. And I do think that's good. But however, it's also, you know, I probably was part of the very end of the last generation that preschool was pretty much optional.
Mm-hmm.
If your parents wanted to keep you in just basic child care or have a relative care for you, or if you got a stay-at-home mom until you were 5 years old and went to kindergarten for a half day, not a full day, that was acceptable. Now, I was enrolled in a preschool, but there were certain classmates that I had who were not. And so now you have not only this expectation that kids will be enrolled in preschool, but they'll do it from the time they're 2 or 3 rather than 4, the year before they go to kindergarten, and that they'll stay there all day. And that just goes to another thing that happened when I was growing up was this increased focus on the overscheduling of children.
Mm.
And I experienced it. By the time I was in high school, because of this activity or that, I was at school from 7 o'clock in the morning until probably 9:30 at night, 4 days a week out of the 5. And it does get to take a toll on you. I don't think you really process it when you're a kid. But it just does seem like there's a race to get every kid the biggest, earliest advantage that a parent can get them.
But it gets them out of the house, so the parent doesn't really have to...
Well,
have that responsibility.
Well, and then that spins around to, mm-hmm. I think that's why the schools, getting back to the LGBTQ thing, I think that's why they feel like they have this inherited right or this privilege to teach about subjects that many people feel like parents should be teaching about, because the kids are out of the house for so much longer now than they used to be, that there seems to be less parenting. The parenting is going on in the schools.
Well, this is a tough one, because many good parents, excellent parents, mm-hmm. working three jobs to be able to pay
exactly
the taxes.
To live here, sure.
I'll tell you a big element of that, though. Mm. This plays into the hands of, like old Sherry Sylvester's law. There's little legislation in New Jersey that does not create financial opportunity for somebody. Mm. Well, one of the things that goes along with this now, all the preschool teachers are going to have to be regular teachers union members.
Correct.
Which means at the cost of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is going to expand the dues coffer of right. the union.
Mm-hmm.
Also in Elizabeth, now, as you pointed out, this was funny, but this is what they do.
Right.
They and it may be other communities too, mm-hmm. but as you said, this is not compulsory now.
Right.
But they had preschool truant officers.
Right.
For what?
Stealing somebody else's milk.
It employed some union member somewhere yeah. or the other.
Uh-huh.
So you put all of these things together.
Yeah.
And you can see that there are motives other than filling the hit. I thought you were going to say something. It is possible, but it would be cute. You said that when you went to school, some kids had preschool.
Right.
And some kids didn't. They played at home.
Right.
I thought you were going to say that you went to preschool and later one of the kids that didn't do anything hired you.
It wouldn't surprise me if that.
Well, somebody once said, and I think it was funny at the time, but I think it's applicable. If nobody dropped out of school in the eighth grade, who would be there to hire college graduates?
Right.
And I think there's something to that.
Sure.
So, the marijuana thing goes. That's the gift that keeps on giving.
Absolutely.
I think what's going to happen. I had one time, I had this notion I was going to try to organize what I call the Citizens Volunteer Proctology Corps. And this was to do away with boomboxes.
Okay.
We would have agents out, a certain number of them. They drive around somebody on the corner with a boombox. Mm-hmm. They'd pull up, hold him down. And, well, you know what proctologists do.
Yeah.
With a boombox.
Right.
So maybe they could do the same thing with marijuana now, that if people don't want it. The Asbury Park Press editorially came up with 17 pretty valid reasons why they should not have that in New Jersey. Did mm-hmm. you see that?
Yes, I did. And
they had 10 at first, and then they added 7 more.
And many of them we've talked about.
I think
the sticking point for a lot of people, I know it was for Steve Sweeney in all of this, but many who are out and out opponents, is something that you and I have talked about at length, which is when you get pulled over under suspicion of marijuana use behind the wheel, how do you check for that?
Do you know what they said? I saw a story, and I'm sure you probably had this story. Well, we're going to take pictures.
Right.
Well,
right. Right.
You ever get in a drunk driving check?
No, I never have. I never have. I obviously have seen them set up.
I did. I was having dinner with a good friend at the shore.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way back on Route 70, they had one set up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what town exactly would have been in, but it was in a huge lot of a restaurant, you know, in the night.
Sure.
It was an interesting process.
Yeah.
Because once you get into that, you can't get out.
Right.
They're watching for people who want to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky as everything, because I certainly had taken a nip from the cup that cheers at dinner, but enough time had passed and enough coffee, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting process. It just took a lot of time. The officers were extremely polite.
Mm-hmm.
And they come over. And, of course, the first thing he does, sticks his head in the car, and he's sniffing around.
Right, right.
And then have a little bit of a conversation with you.
Sure.
And then it's off you go. I guess my point is that they had rounded up a lot of people, because there was a whole slew of tow trucks.
Yeah.
In the process on the other end of the lot, pulling cars away.
Yeah.
And then people sort of standing around.
When I have seen those set up, things can slow down there a lot, because there are a lot of people, a lot of drivers that pass through that they have to process.
Yeah, it's let's see what the marijuana. Yeah, the I got off the path there just thinking about my experience.
Right,
but they are so determined in spite of the fact. Now you had a count. You had published an account of the number of towns that had rejected this.
Yes.
Well, now the governor has indicated that if every town in New Jersey rejects it, they're going to do it anyway. I don't know how that works. But I mean, pretty much that, not specifically that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that would work. But I mean, how much of a, this is kind of a sports term that I'll appropriate here, but how much of a sample size do you need? Right now, more than a tenth of the towns in New Jersey have said that they would not support this. Do you need that number to be a quarter, a third, two thirds before you really look at it and you say, wow, this might not be an idea that everybody likes?
In your opinion, your experience, your observation, which is keen, why the push for this? What is the motivation behind this very energetic push that we're going to do this in spite of everything?
I'm not sure that there's anything else behind it than a desire by the governor to keep a campaign promise. And I have likened it before, and will again, to President Trump and the wall. He very well may believe in the concept of the wall, but he believes in it even more as fulfilling a promise that he made in his campaign.
Well, that was the key promise.
Right.
In a sense, that was the big thing.
And so Phil Murphy, having made marijuana the key promise of his campaign, wants to get it done at all costs. But I'm not totally convinced that he fully believes in it as a concept.
I'm beginning more and more to think, and again, I don't mean to be conspiratorial about the thing, but it's more like Soma in Aldous Huxley's novel, you know, The Brave New World.
Yes.
In which everybody in this pretty much, well, it would actually be sort of a socialist or to the point of a communist society. Oh, they even had Victory Gin in 1984.
Right.
And so you have to have some kind of a soporific for this huge population.
Yeah.
And number one, keeping them busy enough trying to pay exorbitant taxes is one thing. But you add to that, that you give them a palliative, a drug, and then you don't have to worry about anybody bucking the system.
Exactly.
You know, something I wonder about, if the, who's the Bernie Sanders now is yelling about what, democratic socialism. That's an oxymoron.
Right.
You cannot have democratic socialism because socialism requires that the government, through an elite, run everything and order everything. Look what happened in Russia. Now, in Russia, remember, they never said they were a communist country. They were a socialist country.
Right.
Because they said that they were building toward communism, but it was socialist.
Right.
Hitler, Nationalsozialistische Deutsches Arbeiterparty, that was a socialist party.
Right.
And there's always in this a controlling elite. And I think this is what these people are jockeying for to see who it's going to be.
Wouldn't you love to bring George Carlin back to life for routine where he would get into the oxymoron of democratic socialism?
Well,
Jumbo Shrimp.
Military intelligence, this is George Carlin's thing, and he went on with it. Yeah.
Right.
I wish George Carlin could come back anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
George Carlin, he did a piece on the old Mike Douglas daytime show.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, what this was years ago, of course, what he was doing was trying out new routines because he would take time off regularly to write new material.
Yeah.
This was the funniest stuff I've ever heard. It's hard to make me, you know, get out on the floor doubled up laughing. But some of this stuff was absolutely incredible.
Right.
But I never understood the language. I don't know the necessity of that, the shock, the bad words.
Yeah,
it wasn't necessary because he was so good.
He was so good at breaking down just regular language.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly.
So again, this moving this left, I think there's a certain inevitability in this, this breaking down of borders and walls, because migration, the whole world is churning with migration now. And so this is going to level out much of the world except possibly China and Russia. You don't see a whole lot of migrants going there. And therefore, they are probably going to be in the catbird seat. We are going to be so diluted and watered down that with ideology, I don't mean ethnicity necessarily, just we're going to be pretty much ineffective. Beside that, the left is going to be so much in control. You know, something I've thought, mixing up thoughts here, but they do occur. When they first had blue states and red states.
Yeah.
Now, New Jersey is a blue state, which is heavily Democratic.
Right.
Now, if you actually had a division of the country according to these states, which has been proposed, really, then if you you could move to a blue state or you could move to a red state. If you're living out in Kansas and are progressive, you could move to New Jersey or vice versa. But you know what would happen if you did that? If the blue states were on their own.
Yes.
And the red states were on their own. Economically, it would be a disaster.
Yes.
For the red states.
Right.
I mean, for the blue states. I'm sorry, the left states. Because manufacturing productivity would go on in the red states.
And
the blue states would be bankrupt with social programs. In a year. And they'd have to come begging for getting relief.
Have you ever seen a map of, they may break it down by county or by city, but a large scale map of pretty much any presidential election? It's just the Democrat candidates pretty much just get votes on the two coasts. And there's a whole bunch of red in the middle of the country.
Only red thing in the middle of the country, I mean, the whole, we'll get them mixed up again, the only blue would be Minnesota.
One of
all places, one of these states is who has the one of these three young twits who are running the Congress right now. The Democratic Party, and I hate to say this because I don't mean Democrats in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
This was a party that had done so many good things over the years, been so aware, so sensitive, so aware, and put up some great candidates and done good works. But now they're in the middle of an implosion in which the only thing the leadership is interested in is power. They don't give a damn about any kind of policy. They're not doing anything about anything.
Right.
And yet they've allowed three immature, illiterate twits, really, with no experience, to run the United States Congress.
Yeah.
Because everybody is terrified now. So, and the whole thing is out to destroy the value system, the unity in the country. But the one thing that particularly interests me is the support that unions are giving, because they're smart enough, the left, to say, okay, we're gonna be pro-union. This is good. You accept a whole lot of support. But unions are happily marching to their own funeral. What happens in these socialist states, the communist states, if you want, once they are in power, they will keep unions. But once they've outlived their usefulness in getting power, they are allowed to exist, but in name only.
Right.
Because all the unions in Russia and these other countries, China, I'm sure, is pretty much in the same boat, if you want. The unions was only a structure to enforce worker discipline to fulfill the quotas.
Well, sure. Exactly. Right.
And so I think the union people are, so many, you're talking about oxymorons. there's an oxymoron in the freedom versus social justice.
Yes.
There's sometimes the two are acquainted. I mean, social justice with capital letters, not what it really means, which is good.
Right. The kinds of things that Spartacus talks about. Right.
Because rigid equality and freedom are mutually inconsistent. They can't exist. People are not equal in their ambitions, their lifestyles, if you want, their intelligence and all, their abilities. So when government imposes equality, nobody's free.
Right.
And again, I think you see that in the 1984, The Brave New World, that these people saw years ago. But unhappily, we're not seeing it looking ahead. It's here.
Right.
You know, it's creeping up our backs.
Yeah.
I want to, speaking of, so many things to talk about here. I run across this as an app. We were talking about the computer world, the internet. There's an app for President Trump supporters where they can find restaurants where they will be safe.
Oh, we talked about this.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah.
Good. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
How ridiculous. It's called, for people who want it, 63rd Safe, rates businesses as either safe or not safe based on such criteria as whether they post political content on social media, not safe, whether customers are allowed to carry guns.
Right.
Well,
right.
That one I don't know. The developer said that this is needed because of the rise of the socialist goon squads. And that's true.
Yeah.
That's about what they are.
Mm-hmm.
They are. Yeah. So what do we overlook today? What's on your mind?
I
was a little pushy on the dance floor, but then you get used to doing that.
I think that we kind of have covered what needs to be covered, because I think especially with a lot of the stuff that's going on within the state, we're kind of in a holding pattern. You know, we haven't heard that much recently about the Alvarez case. We're working through a lot of the budget stuff. So there are a lot of unanswered questions right now that we're just waiting on. And I think in the weeks to come, things will start to spice up a bit.
Yeah, that the Alvarez case, this is not directly related to him, but that agency that the governor had put people in charge of.
Yes.
Apparently, they just cleaned everybody out and put their own relatives and people in there, mm-hmm. which is old-style political.
Yep. Yep.
Did you realize, gosh, I'm keeping this going, you know, as thoughts occur, as stream of consciousness.
Sure.
I think I may have mentioned this before. Back in the 90s, up to the 90s, if you wanted to get a job with the Garden State Parkway, you had to have a political sponsor.
Yes.
You had to go down. I think I did mention that.
Right,
right. And the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
And the good old days, you know, with bribing a politician was putting money in an envelope and sliding it under the door.
Right.
Now they call it a campaign contribution for the same effect.
Right.
Patrick, thank you. I enjoy always talking with you, and I enjoy so much I sit here and could go on. But you have a job.
It's always a pleasure, Jim.
Thanks for listening to the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Still cooking, and it's bigger than ever.
From NJ1015.com.